Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In a little bit on this show, I'd like to get to a new article that we've been working on for our website, kgov.com. We have a section on writings, a number of articles addressing important issues, and this one is titled, You Might Be an Anti-Semite If. You might be an anti-Semite if, and it's just a stunningly hard-hitting article because there's been a problem for centuries among Christians, especially certain camps of Christians, that there is a very sinful hatred of Jews. And this is, of course, something that dishonors God. So I'd like to get to that in a little bit. Also, I'd like to let you hear, again, the commercial that we've had running on a few other radio stations. And then, something we haven't done in a while, I thought it'd be fun to look at some of the headlines only off the Drudge Report, and assess them from a biblical worldview, like on the program with Doug McBurney this week, where we looked at the news and we assess the things that people are talking about from a biblical worldview. And it's so powerful, so important, so authoritative. And just like the mouth can taste good food, the heart knows truth. So while there are millions, even billions, who are in rebellion against God, there are others who are searching, as the Bible says, you know, multitudes in the valley of decision. And when you have a biblical worldview as a Christian, you're able to share things that are more significant and bring people to that valley of decision so that they can more consciously decide for the Lord. So before we get to the Drudge headlines that we'll just preview, let's go for this commercial now. This is aired. It's now completed. It's aired over 130 times on two other conservative or Christian radio stations in the Denver area, KNUS and KRKS. So K News, right? Friends on some of these stations for years, for decades even. But let's listen to this commercial, and I won't describe it for those who haven't heard it before. We'll just let you hear it.
An abortionist has been convicted of murder. Kermit Gosnell's House of Horrors closed. But Colorado kills many kids from conception through late term. Like Brady Surovic, killed by a drunk driver, these kids are persons. Yet listen to Princeton University's Peter Singer.
No, I don't think it's problematic to say the four-month-old baby is not actually a person. I think that's simply true.
This is widespread and even taints the White House. It's up to us to stop this taking of innocent life. The University of Colorado's Michael Tooley advocates both abortion and infanticide. Discover magazine defends the evolution of infanticide. The New York Times published a call to kill newborns. So did the Journal of Medical Ethics. It's up to us to stop the horror. Sign the Pro-Life Brady Amendment. It's urgent. Call any Colorado personhood group to get a petition. Or just go to avoiceforbrady.com. That's avoiceforbrady.com.
All right, very important. If you live in Colorado, you've got to sign. Please sign. Please help us. Be a voice for Brady. You got to sign the Brady petition for the Brady Amendment. It's the personhood amendment. This is round four in Colorado. And we've now successfully, the personhood movement has gotten on the ballot in Colorado, in Mississippi, in South Dakota. South Dakota? North Dakota. All of a sudden, I forgot. In one of the Dakotas, and we have twice in Colorado. In California, if you recall, we got about 900,000 signatures, not enough to get on the ballot, but came close. And so this is a crucial movement to, because it's not when you let people kill babies in the womb, that bloodlust is not satiated. So then they want to kill babies out of the womb, and that is the growing infanticide movement. Really, it's just a post-birth abortion. It's post-birth abortion. That's what it is. And like I mentioned in that ad, the New York Times ran a 3-page article advocating that it should be legal to kill babies after they're born for any reason, newborns. The Journal of Medical Ethics arguing that for the exact same reasons why we have abortion in the womb, we should have infanticide out of the womb. It should be legal to kill newborns. Discover Magazine. Discover Magazine, this popular science magazine, godless, of course. That's the popular science press is all godless today. And they did this puff piece on infanticide, how infanticide is really just a part of evolution. And, you know, evolution is all basically the survival of the fittest. So really, it's part of parental care to allow people to kill some of their newborns, because then they could be better members of society. So I remember a caller called in to the show a while back and said that I was a Nazi. And then he's defending these kinds of developments. And so I asked, who's the Nazi now? So that's the Brady Amendment. Go to avoiceforbrady.com, avoiceforbrady.com, or I will give the Colorado Right to Life phone number. You could call Colorado Right to Life and ask for a Brady Amendment petition, and they'll send it right out to you. Their phone number is 888-888-CRTL. That's 888-888-CRTL, Colorado Right to Life. Or their local number, 303-753-9394. If you live out of state, that doesn't mean you're off the hook. Everybody's got to help. No exceptions. So please call Colorado Right to Life and make a donation and let them know it's for the Brady Amendment to get enough signatures to get on the ballot. You'll encourage everyone at Denver Bible Church, little Brady Cervic's mother Heather, his grandmother Terry, everyone at Personhood Colorado, indeed everyone of goodwill in this state and around the nation who wants to advocate for the right to life of every innocent child, and that every innocent child should be protected by love and by law. Okay. So thanks to my board operator there for running that spot. Now, just a few Drudge headlines. Let's see, at the top, we find out that 11 million Americans are now on disability. That's not a surprise, right? We're just behind Europe in the whole socialist agenda thing. And we used to laugh when I first went on the air, Bob and Your Live, 22 years ago. We used to point out that Europe had so many millions and millions of people on disability. You know, so many of them had back problems, because that's hard to prove, right? Every other person's got back problems. And you meet plenty of people who you find out they're on disability, and they try, without you saying a word, they try to justify it to you. Because you can see they're perfectly well-abled, and they're intelligent, and they've got a personality, right? And they can do all kinds of things on a keyboard, on a phone, and a job, sitting at a desk. And they try to explain why, really, they're not doing anything wrong by collecting money from the government to not work for years and years and years. I've known people who they hit the jackpot. You know, they made it to permanent disability. Perfectly functional. Perfectly. Who does it hurt mostly? Does it hurt the people who pay the taxes for the people on disability? Or does it hurt more the people on disability? See, that's an easy one, right? It hurts more the people on disability. Welfare is a far greater burden to the people on welfare than it is to the people who pay welfare. So that's something that any liberal who happened to be tuning in for the last 1 minute could not possibly comprehend. And that's okay. We understand. There's hope for you, but we understand. But just like the great tragedy when a loved one is murdered, so, and you have then a murderer and a murder victim, and who's worse off, the murderer or the murder victim? If your son, if you found out your son, there was a murder, and you're trying to find out what happened, and it's either your son was the murderer or the one murdered, right? That sounds pretty tough. But I tell you, on Judgment Day, it's the murderer who's the one who's the loser. The murderer. And so, like with all of welfare and all, it's the people on welfare who are harmed the most severely. So then we have, let's see, what else is on the Drudge Report? New Jersey inmates. Remember we told you, Doug and I told you, we quoted our friend Matruella from Milwaukee. He said, America has become an insane asylum run by the criminally insane. So you have the inmates running the asylum, unquestionably. And here's this headline, New Jersey inmates collect $23 million in government benefits. Of course they do. And of course, that doesn't include the tens of millions of dollars it costs, probably hundreds of millions, right, in all of New Jersey, to feed them and clothe them and educate them and medicate them and legally represent them and keep them cuddly warm in winter and nice and cool in summer and keep them in their, you know, all the filth they watch on their cable TV and all that stuff. That all costs money, right? So the inmates are running the asylum. Then we have Washington, D.C., boomtown. D.C. area unemployment drops again. And Drudge couples that. He tends to couple. By the way, Drudge is not a Christian. Drudge just happens to be a common source for links to news these days. And he's a character. You can find out about his personality and all just by the kind of news he links to and the way he packages stories together. And so here he points out that Washington, D.C. is boomtown. That's because of the, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars they're spending like drunken sailors, with apologies to drunken sailors. But he couples that with a headline that there's an RV filled with expensive champagne headed to Washington, D.C. You know, it's just curious. A U.S. meat processor is being sold. So there's a company. It's being sold to a Chinese company for almost $5 billion. And I know that many people who enjoy this show, Bob and Yurt Live, they have a tendency to have a knee-jerk reaction to get angry at everything and criticize everything and oppose everything. So we, for many years on the air, we've strongly asked conservatives to not do that, because if you criticize everything, you're against everything, pretty soon no one, even your wife, really cares about your opinion about anything. If you're against everything, nobody would care about anything you have to say, because you become a caricature of yourself, and they just know when you hear a headline, you're going to whine. So, speaking of whine, this U.S. company being sold to a Chinese company for $5 billion, is that inherently immoral to have foreign money and foreigners invest in your country? Is that inherently immoral? No, that's not inherently immoral. Does it have a tendency toward international security? Well, it does. That's why many nations, the king would have a daughter, say the king of England, and the king of France would have a son, and the king of France would say to the queen of England, Would you be interested in your daughter meeting my son? Maybe they'll get married. And so then if they were to get married, the reasoning flowed that, well, there might be less of a likelihood that we're going to attack and try to kill each other, because now we're related by blood. So that's the reasoning. And that same kind of reasoning is why when countries have significant financial stakes in other countries, they have a tendency to not want to attack them. So as a first assessment of foreign investment in our country and our investment in other countries, that's not inherently immoral, wrong. Now, China is a special case because of their forced abortion and their virtual slavery of hundreds of millions of people. And so China, of course, is a country that we need to condemn, but we live in an insane world where we need to condemn ourselves also because of our epidemic of child killing and killing newborns after they're born, hospitals starving to death and killing, in other way, handicapped children and the elderly and so on. So, you know, it's one insane person telling another insane person that they're crazy. How does that work? You're both inmates in an insane asylum, and the one inmate says to the other, "You're crazy." It's like, yeah, right. So we could go on and on with the insights. Here's a new study out. Diet soda is just as harmful to teeth as methamphetamine. Now, have you ever seen a picture of somebody on methamphetamine and their teeth are all, you know, the ones that are not falling out are only half there and they're green and all? And I've noticed in my life that whenever I see somebody who drinks like Diet Pepsi, they always look like that. I've noticed that myself. Wally, don't smile, Wally. He's got, you know, those big gulps, and then they got the double gulps and the super gulps. Then they have the ones that are so big, they have a handle with wheels on the bottom, and there's a tube. You wear it around the back of your neck, and you just sip on it all day. That's the big one. That's the hand truck gulp. So, but Wally has a beautiful smile. And I haven't said that to a guy in my whole life. But so anyway, this is published, this study, in a dental journal, the Journal General Dentistry. And so, you know, I learned from when I was young, I worked for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company for a while on the Apache helicopter out in California and then in Mesa, Arizona. And when you sit down with the security consultant for your facility, by the time you're done taking his advice, no one will do anything other than making sure we're all secure. That's it. There'll be no time to work. Everybody's going to be complying with security requirements. And so when you talk to a dentist, if, you know, anyway, but certainly, you know, we take these things with a grain of splendor or whatever. And we realize that, hey, these things are, you know, not healthy, but the comparison to methamphetamine, meth mouth, is got to be a bit over the top. But they spent millions of dollars on their study, and I just read it in the headlines. So you could take that however you'd like to. And the headlines go on and on. And generally, when you come from a biblical perspective, you could understand what's happening in the world. You understand it. Speaking of understanding, if you look over the history of Christianity, you'll find this tragic phenomenon of anti-Semitism that runs like a poisonous vein through the body of Christ. And of course, there are millions, tens of millions of Christians today who love the Jews and love Israel, just like we love Venezuelans. But, you know, the Jews are the apple of God's eye. God, when you have grandkids and you have this incredible love for them. And so God loved Abraham, and he especially has this special kind of love for Abraham's kids, the Jews. And so partly because of bad theology and misunderstanding the Bible, and partly for other reasons, there have been many Christians, including leaders and whole groups of Christians, that have hated the Jews. So we are working on publishing an article. I thought I'd share it with you guys. And if you have any thoughts on it, feel free to email them to me at bob@kgov.com. Bob@kgov.com. So this is a work in progress, right? You might be an anti-Semite if. Do any of these describe you? You might be an anti-Semite if, when you see evil, you know whether or not a Jew did it. There are a lot of people like that. You know, people who hate whatever. Let's say Mexicans. People who hate, there are some, right? There's got to be at least three or four. People who hate Mexicans, when they hear that there's a crime, they want to know, did a Mexican commit it? And that's an indicator you might be a racist if. So you might be an anti-Semite if, when you see evil, you know whether or not a Jew did it. Now, it says you might be because, well, some people themselves are Jewish. And if a Jewish person takes a special note, like I take a special note when a Christian commits a crime, I notice that. It doesn't mean I'm anti-Christian. So if a black person wants to know, you know, was that a black who committed that crime? Or a Jew wants to know, is it a Jew? Then that doesn't mean that they're racist against themselves. But you might be an anti-Semite if, when you see evil, you note, you take a mental note whether or not a Jew did it. Or does this describe you? You have never warned anyone against being an anti-Semite. Now that, right, anti-Semitism is pretty widespread. So this is a might, you know, you might be an anti-Semite if you've never warned anyone. Hey, it sounds like you're a racist. It sounds like you're an anti-Semite. You need to ask God to, you know, forgive you. You're not a Christian. You need to ask God to forgive you. You are a Christian and you're doing that? You know, Jesus was a Jew. You have this special hatred of Jews or of, you know, Asians, or is it legal to say Asians today? I know there are a lot of terms for people. If you say them, you get in trouble. Is Asians okay? Is that politically correct? That's okay, right? It's okay. Asians. Chinese. Some people hate the Chinese, right? There are a lot of liberals who say there are too many people in the world and we've got to have abortion and we've got to have euthanasia and we've got to have forced abortion. There are just too many people. And we say, well, what do you mean there are too many people? You know how many Chinese people there are in the world? You know how many blacks there are in Africa? And you find out these people are basically racist. They're not trying to, you know, they're not offering to kill themselves to combat overpopulation. They want to get rid of as many Chinese people as they can, or as many blacks. You might be an anti-Semite if you have ever defended Martin Luther's intense hatred of the Jews. You might be an anti-Semite if you've ever defended Martin Luther regarding his hatred of the Jews. I'll get to some of his quotes in a moment if I have the time. If you think that the Jews are the enemy, now, Planned Parenthood is the enemy, atheists are the enemy, evolutionists are the enemy, everyone who rejects Jesus Christ is the enemy, pretty much the whole world is the enemy of Jesus Christ. So, but if you want to specifically say that it's Mexicans that are the enemy, or it's the Germans that are the enemy. I'm not talking about the context of a war. If you think that the Jews deserve to be despised. If you do not love the Jews as much as any other people. These are indicators. So at the top of this article, you might be an anti-Semite if there's a list of descriptors, and if one or more describe you, you might be an anti-Semite. For some of them, you're definitely an anti-Semite. And so, of course, I mentioned Martin Luther. And if you think about, you know, how bad really is anti-Semitism? Really, how bad is it really? I mean, come on. Well, as a Protestant myself, I suggest we consider the racism of a Protestant hero, Martin Luther. Now, I reviewed one of Luther's books called On the Jews and Their Lies at Google Books. Have you ever gone to Google Books? They have tens of millions of books for free. You could read them at Google Books. And they let you review those books. And I reviewed Martin Luther's book titled On the Jews and Their Lies. And from that review, by the way, some of this material is also in a book I wrote. It's my life's work called The Plot. So consider this, that from Martin Luther's book, he wrote this in the introduction. And this is a full book-length treatise. He wrote, "I had made up my mind to write no more, either about the Jews or against them, these miserable and accursed people. Much less do I propose to convert the Jews, for that is impossible." Well, thank God that Al Sharon didn't meet Martin Luther, because Pops is a messianic believer, as are a number of my dear friends. So Martin Luther, on the next page, he writes, "Listen, Jew, your Jerusalem, your temple and priesthood have been destroyed for over 1,400 years. Let the Jews bite on that nut." That's Martin Luther. Then go forward about 100 pages. The whole thing is viciously wicked. Martin Luther writes, "So we are even at fault in not avenging all this innocent blood of our Lord." So he says we need to avenge the blood of Jesus on the Jews today. That's pretty evil. "And we're at fault for not avenging the blood of the Christians, which they have shed for 300 years after the destruction of Jerusalem, and the blood of the children they have shed since then, which still shines forth from their eyes and their skin. We are at fault in not slaying them." That's Martin Luther. That last comment, this insane anti-Semitic claim against the Jews, was that they would kill Christian children and drink their blood. And you could see the blood of the Gentile, the Christian children, shining from a Jewish person's eyes and from their skin. That's why they look so good, was the argument. They're drinking Christian children's blood. And Martin Luther helped to promote that. And it goes on. And you know, as it goes on, when you read Martin Luther's book, you really can't distinguish chunks of it from Adolf Hitler's actual final solution. So is anti-Semitism really that bad? And we all need a biblical worldview. Our website, kgov.com.